Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
The title of this morning's message is simply this: God is God and we are not. Now that may sound a little bit like an odd title here today, but I hope that this point is really driven home as we developed this thought out of Genesis chapter 3. We're going to continue to read Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. You may be tired of reading these verses. We have read this same text in every message, but hopefully you're getting a better understanding of what took place and what we would call in this passage of Scripture the fall of man. We have seen from the very first message that Satan is a liar, right? He is a liar. And Jesus even called him the father or the originator of lies. And we see all the lies that he tells to not only Eve, but also to Adam here in Genesis chapter 3. So let's read these verses and let's look at them again. Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You see, that's exactly what we see taking place here in Genesis chapter 3 when Satan came and fed Eve one of his lies. One of the lies that he feeds her is this: and ye shall be as gods. And ye shall be as gods. Now, if you're in the habit of underlining or marking in your Bible, I want you to circle that word gods. Notice that in verse 5. It is the Hebrew word Elohim. Now, we all know from studying different names of God in the Old Testament that that is a name for the Almighty God, the one true God, Elohim. And so, in essence, Satan was telling Eve that she would be like God himself. Now keep in mind that Satan had already lied to Eve about the consequences of eating the forbidden fruit. God had said in chapter 2, if you eat of the forbidden fruit, thou shalt surely what? Die. And that not only involved physical death, but it also involved spiritual death. But Satan here in chapter 3 contradicts the word of God, and he tells Eve, ye shall not surely die. And now he lies to her by telling her that there are amazing benefits to eating that which God had told her not to eat. Look at verse 5 again. Genesis 3, verse 5, but God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. There was what we would call a half-truth in what Satan said to Eve. Yes, when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, their eyes were open, right? So that was a truthful statement. That is, they gained insight as to what sin and evil were, but as we all know, it came at a very extremely high price. But the big lie that Satan told Eve was that she would be like God if she ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, all throughout the Bible, God has repeatedly told us that there is no one like Him. There is only one God. Only one true living God. As a matter of fact, no one will ever be like Him. No angelic being, no human being will take the place of God. God is in a class all by Himself because no one else is God. And by the way, God is very protective of His own identity. So much so that He commanded the people of Israel not to make any replica or likeness of Him. I want to read to you Exodus 20, verse 4. You don't have to turn there. The verse will be on the screen. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Throughout the book of Isaiah, God emphasizes His own uniqueness over and over again. Isaiah 43 and verse 10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. No one else is God. There's only one true living God. Isaiah 44, verse 6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. I read to you Isaiah 45, verse 5, God says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. The point is very clear from all of these verses. There is only one God, and we're not God. Do we understand that here today? Now, I'm going to get very practical here in a moment. This is more dealing with the passage of Scripture and giving you some theological thoughts here today. But I want you to really, really grasp a hold of that statement, and that is there is only one God, and we're not God. We must not forget that there is an infinite difference between the Creator, that is God, and the created, that would be us. One of the reasons why God put the one restriction on Adam and Eve, that is, not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, was to remind them of who was who. That's the reason why He put that tree in the midst of the garden, to remind them that He was God, He was the Creator, and they were the created. They were not God. You see, God drew a line of distinction between Himself, that is the Creator, and Adam and Eve, the created. He wanted to make it absolutely clear that there is a big difference between who He is and who we are as human beings. God is transcendent. Now, you say, what does that mean? It means that He exists above and He is independent of everything and everyone. We need God to exist, but God doesn't need us to exist. He is transcendent. God is infinite in knowledge while we are limited in what we know. I have no idea what is going on in your life today. You've come to church and you've come and you sat down in these pews today and you're looking at me and I'm looking at you. But at the same time, I don't really know what's going on in your life. But God does. God knows everything about all of us. God is infinite in knowledge. God is eternal. And consequently, He is not limited by time. How different we are from God. We have a beginning, and we are what we call finite beings. We are limited to time. We are limited in knowledge, and we are limited in wisdom. And because of who God is, it's in our best interest to submit ourselves to Him and to obey His word. You see, when God put that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he put it right in the midst of the garden, and he told Adam and Eve, you are not to eat of the fruit of that tree. He was drawing a distinction there. He's saying, now listen, I'm God, and I know what's best for you. I want you to understand it is in your best interest to submit yourself to the authority that I have, and I want you to do as I tell you to do. Make sure that you don't eat of this tree, the fruit of this tree, or you will die. You see, there was a distinction there between who God is and who we are. Well, God never intended for the distinction between himself and us to ever be blurred. God wants to have a personal relationship with each one of us, right? We know that. He sent his son Jesus Christ into the world, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, and then died as the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, the sinless sacrifice, the final sacrifice for you and me. He died in our place as our substitute. He bore our sins as he suffered and he bled and he died on that old rugged cross. And then the Bible says he was buried, and then he conquered death and the grave with his victorious resurrection. And God says in his word, if you will put your faith, if you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be what? Saved. And so you can have a personal relationship with God when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you've never made that wonderful and very life-changing decision, I want to encourage you to do that today. Don't leave this place without a personal relationship with God. When you put your faith in his son Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on that old rugged cross for you, all your sins are washed away. You become a child of God. Heaven becomes your home. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell within you. And God begins to transform your life. I am so thankful for the work of salvation that only God can bring about in a person's life. Religion doesn't do us any good. Man has enough religion. We don't need another religion in the world. We need people to know Jesus. And that's what this ministry is all about. You say, well, what is Canton Baptist Temple all about? I'm visiting here today, and I just want to know, what is your church about? Our church is about telling people about Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross. And we want to preach and teach the truth of God's word. When a person gets saved, they need to know, they need to begin to live their life according to the precepts and the principles of God's word. But I want you to know, God wants to have a personal relationship with you. He loves you, and he wants to walk with you. And he wants at the same time for you to respect him as God, and he wants you to obey what he has told you in his word. God wants us to trust him. Boy, isn't it hard sometimes to just trust God? We as human beings, we want to be in control of everything. We want to know what's going on. And sometimes we have to just come to the place in our lives where we realize we don't know everything. We don't understand everything that's happening in our lives. So we just have to what? Trust. Trust God. And that means that we need to trust him in what we're supposed to know and what we're not supposed to know. God in his infinite wisdom knew that we as human beings, we didn't have what it took to handle the knowledge of sin and evil. History has certainly proven that to be true. Instead of living in perfect harmony with God, man has chosen to live his life independent from God. Because we desire to have that which God never intended for us to have, we are now experiencing what God never intended for us to experience. Do you realize that ever since Genesis chapter 3, this passage of scripture that I have read 5 weeks, Ever since Genesis chapter 3, mankind has not gotten better. He has only gotten worse. Not better, worse. Evolution says we get better. But that has not been the case. We have only gotten worse. And those of you who are older, you probably remember what it was like decades ago. And when I say that things are not getting better, they're only getting worse, you're there going, amen. I've seen it, brother. First-hand experience. It has not gotten any better. Apart from God, man will never know what absolute truth is. Oh, we can come up with scientific discoveries and inventions and new technological advances, all these neat little gadgets. But when it comes to knowing what real absolute truth is, we are hopeless without God and His Word. You see, in essence, Satan was telling Adam and Eve that it was not God's responsibility to make the distinction between good and evil, but they could make that decision themselves. Doesn't that sound like America today and our culture in which we live? Today they are saying, we don't need God, we don't need His Word, we can decide what is right and what is wrong. We'll be our own judge. They are believing the lie that Satan told Adam and Eve right here in Genesis chapter 3. There doesn't need to be that line of distinction. You can be your own God. You can do whatever you want to. God said don't do that, but you do whatever you want to do. And we are still seeing Satan's lies being successful in cultures, not only here in America, but all around the world. Satan wanted Adam and Eve to think and to live independently from God, who alone possesses absolute truth. You see, that is the appeal of modern secular humanism today. Secular humanism tells us that we don't need God. Secular humanism is what permeates most of our higher education learning facilities and bodies of schools all across America today. Secular humanism is even in our public educational system. I have had all three of my kids in the public educational system, and I believe that ultimately the responsibility of educating a child is in the home. It's in the home. You can't just turn them loose to the school and expect that child to come out okay. Yes, my kids have been through public educational system, and we have seen the secular humanism that permeates the schools today. And in that system, literally, they are teaching our kids, you don't need God. You can do whatever you want. When you try to talk about the Bible or God's Word says this, they're like, whoa. The Bible? We can live however we want. Or they may just start playing mind games with you where they say, well, that might be your truth, but my truth is this. And they're saying something completely opposite of what you just said. And they're saying what they said is true and what you are saying is true. And so what is absolute truth becomes a big blur. Secular humanism says that eventually, with our own wisdom and with our own knowledge, we're going to solve all the problems that we have in the world. Secular humanism says that we will eventually overcome evil and we will create our own utopia, our own Garden of Eden. But again, in essence, secular humanism says that man doesn't need God telling him what to do and what not to do. It's the same old lie that we read about right here in Genesis chapter 3, that we can be our own God. Think about it just for a moment. Secular humanism has not been able to even answer the question of how we got here or how did this world come into existence, much less solve the problems of humanity. Their theory is what they call the Big Bang theory. We've all heard about it. The Big Bang theory says that a huge cosmic explosion started the entire universe. But no one has been able to tell us what went bang in the first place, right? How did we get what exploded before? You say it, a Big Bang explosion and the universe came into existence. Well, how did that, whatever it was that exploded, how did that get here? No answers. Folks, bottom line, we all have a choice to make. Will we choose to believe Satan's lie that we don't need God and that we can live our lives independent from Him? Are we going to believe that we can be our own God and we can decide for ourselves what is good and what is evil? Or will we submit ourselves to God, the one who created us? And will we choose to obey Him and to trust Him, realizing that without Him, we have no absolute truth? Who is calling the shots in your life? Are you just living your life however you want to live it? Or maybe you say, well, everybody else is doing it out there in our culture today. Pastor, don't you understand? The Bible is archaic. It's outdated. Nobody believes that anymore. Are you going to fall for the lie of Satan? But when we submit ourselves to God and we choose to obey Him, we will experience His blessing in our lives. You've got to understand today that God only wants what's best for us, but He will not force us to love Him or to obey Him. Do you realize that God did not create robots? You're not a robot. But rather, you were created in God's image, which means that all of us have a will today. You are hearing the truth of God's word being preached to you this morning. And now, since you are not a robot, you have a choice to make. When you leave this worship center here in a few minutes, you have to leave here making the decision. You know what? God's word, the truth of this book, is going to be the foundation of my life. If God says do it, I'm going to do it. If God says don't do it, I'm not going to do it. I want God to be God in my life. God wants us to choose to love Him, to choose to obey Him. Don't make the same mistake that Adam and Eve made right here in Genesis chapter 3, where Adam and Eve believed the lie of Satan and said, you know what? You're right. God doesn't have any right telling me what to do. If I want to eat that fruit of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I'll do it if I want to. And God said, I told you, when you eat of that fruit, you shall surely what? Die. Here's the lesson all of us need to learn. There are consequences when we disobey the truth of God's word. There's a lot of Christians doing that. They claim to have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They claim to be born again believers in Christ. And yet they're still trying to live their life the way they want to live their life. I am encouraging every person here today, submit yourself to God and the authority of His Word. I'm here to tell you, if you will live your life according to this book right here, you'll not regret it. Will there be a cost associated with that? Absolutely. There's sacrifices that we make as believers in Christ. The Christian life is not always easy. I like the book that I read many years ago. I'm trying to remember who wrote it, but sometimes I think some preachers have gotten up and lied and said, you know what? God has a wonderful, wonderful plan for your life. Sometimes God's plan for our life is not so wonderful. Right? If you've been a Christian long enough, you've known that. Now, you'll experience the presence of God, the strength of God, the grace of God to get through it all. Yes, there is a price to pay whenever we live our lives according to the truth of this book. But we keep in mind there's more to life than just this. There's eternity. There's standing before the judgment seat of Christ and giving an account for the way we have lived our lives. Folks, as your pastor today, I am encouraging you, let God be God in your life. Don't allow it to be just a cliche. Jesus is Lord of my life. Is he truly Lord of your life? Is he calling the shots in your life? Are you weighing every decision in life based upon the truth of this book? This is the filter in which everything must flow through. You see, that moment whenever Adam and Eve were deceived by Satan's lies, they should have said immediately, wait a minute, that's not what God said. The way that we understand how to deal with the culture we're dealing with today is to know the truth. Amen. It's to know the truth. One of the reasons we have so many confused Christians and so many that are literally still falling for the lies of Satan, just like Adam and Eve did in Genesis chapter 3, is because they don't know their Bibles. As Baptists, we are often called people of the book. You've heard me say that over and over again. Maybe you're tired of hearing me say that. I don't know. But we're supposed to be people of the book. And the reason why is this book becomes the foundation for our Christian lives. It becomes the foundation for our ministries. It is the foundation upon which we stand. And everything is done or not done based upon the truth of this book. You say, it's so confusing, the days in which we're living and the culture, preacher and all. I understand, it is. It's very confusing. But the more you understand the truth of this book, the less confusing it will be. Amen. Suddenly you'll be able to say, no, wait a minute, that's wrong. Oh, no, that's right. You'll be able to understand what is moral and what is immoral. We're living in a culture today that literally what God says is immoral, they say is acceptable. That there's no problem with it. Everybody's doing it. Everybody should be okay with it. And I'm here to tell you that we need to saturate our minds with the Word of God. If you want to live biblically, you need to think biblically. And when you forget what God has said in His Word, you will find yourself falling for the lies of Satan. God is God, and we are not.
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.